you guys live in a pretty amazing place here. I got to tell you, there, I have loved my time here in Como so far. There's something in the water. Because I've been here 10 days now, and in that time, I've had 6 separate people spontaneously approach me asking to become Catholic. This is a true story. That's you guys. I mean, it's awesome. And some of them might be here. I don't see anybody immediately here. But some of them were people who said, hey, I've been coming to Newman the last few months or last few weeks, and I think I want to become Catholic. So I don't know what you guys are doing, but keep doing it. Maybe you've observed this too, or maybe you've seen some of the news articles out there about a surge in interest in Catholicism. There's a groaning, a longing, to use the words in our second reading, for something more in a lot of folks out there. What's going on here? What is with the maybe surge of interest in Catholicism? Well, talking to either the folks that I've been encountering or some new converts, some of them say the logic, the order of Catholicism is a balm to the confusion or the chaos even that they've been swimming in. Indeed, our Catholic faith takes seriously the need for conversion of mind and heart to set things in the same way as God. The pitfalls Jesus identifies in the gospel today are related to these. The first two seeds, the seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it without understanding it. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word without understanding it. And the second seed, the seed sown on the rocky ground, is the one who hears the word and receives it with joy, but he has no root, and it lasts only for a time. Perhaps another way of talking about these seeds are seeds of faith, perhaps of the heart, but not of the mind. Or the other seed, the seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but worldly anxiety and allurements draw him away, and the lure of riches choke it out. Faith, perhaps of the mind, assenting to the truths of God, but lacking the wholehearted conviction that endures persecution or trial. Seems to me, hearing the stories of these folks come into interest in our faith, they're drawn to that integration of mind and heart that Catholicism is so persistent on. And it wasn't, of course, the Catholic Church that came up with this idea. No, this was Jesus. This was God's idea. We just receive it. I want to invite us a little bit further, a little bit deeper into that idea. And I'm going to give a disclaimer here. I know this is my second Sunday here. I usually don't get as heady as I'm about to get, okay? So if you're worried after this, don't worry. I'd like to be a little more on this up here. But this is where the Spirit led me. Notice the use of the word. In the first reading and the gospel. In the first reading, the rain and the snow came down and watered the earth, making it fertile. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. And then in the gospel, in the image of the sowing of the seed, we are the ground that receives the seed on which it falls, and the seed is the Word. Alarm bells should be going off for us here. John's Gospel, how did it begin? In the beginning was the Word. What is the Word? Not word, the Word. What is the Word that Jesus speaks? The Word is an ancient idea. I'm going to use the Greek term here, logos, to refer to it. Why? Why am I using Greek here? When Jesus came into the world, God knew what was happening in the world. When God sent Jesus, he wasn't naive to the time or the place Jesus was entering into, nor was he naive to the shared beliefs and ideas that inspired those men and women of that time, that place. And the ancient Romans that were occupying that time and place Jesus would enter into were experiencing something of a renaissance of Greek thought in the decades, the centuries leading up to the birth of Jesus. And for the Greeks, logos, the Word, was a concept which signified the intrinsic order, the inner logic underneath the entire universe. A helpful analogy, perhaps, is if Jesus were instead born in 2026 and he came to proclaim the gospel to us, and he were to come and say, "I am the algorithm." Praise God, he did not come now, and that's not what he's saying. But bear with me with the analogy. If you're familiar, the algorithm is what runs social media, right? And in the virtual world, it's the, if you will, the inner logic behind it. Now, the analogy here falls short because the algorithm is only the inner logic behind the virtual universe. Logos, for the ancient thinkers, was the inner logic of all of reality. Our flesh and blood, our soul and spirit, from the waters of the oceans and the rivers to the fiery stars in the night sky, from the longings, aspirations, and sorrows of the human heart, to the quadratic equation and the great achievements of art and architecture. The logos, the Word for the Greeks, is what sustains and unites all of this in harmony and purpose. It is what makes sense of this whole experience we call life. It is that, we are told, which is planted in the soil of your soul. That logos, that Word, that inner logic of the universe has become a man. Jesus, just like you and me, with whom we can talk and laugh and cry and question with. His Spirit lives in you. It sustains you and unites you to all creation so that you may know that you are never alone and your life has meaning and purpose. I think this is what people are flocking to in our faith. A relationship with the eternal God of the universe, who brings ultimate meaning, purpose to our lives, heart and mind alike. And so in light of all of this, I'll leave you with a simple, practical question. You don't have to get caught up in all the weeds I've given you. What in your heart and mind needs to change? Our faith is bringing our mind, our longings, our desires, all into union with the mind and the heart of Jesus, with the inner logic of God. And sometimes we've got to let go of certain ways of seeing the world and certain beliefs about the universe, our life, our purpose. Sometimes we've got to let go of some of the bitter questions, painful longings that prevent us receiving the hope which Jesus offers. It's when we learn to let go of those obstacles to grace that we have fertile soil in which the word is planted. Jesus, give us the grace to desire it.